You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 181, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. We will pick up where we left off in number 9, Jesus in Bethany and Jerusalem, the cure of a man sick for 38 years. Through those Jews that had reproached the cured man, who had been looked upon by all as incurable for carrying his bed on the Sabbath day, the report of the miracle was spread in Jerusalem after Jesus had left it. It created great excitement. The other sick, who had been cured by Jesus and the disciples at the pool of Bethsaida, attracted little attention, for their cure was attributed to the virtue of the waters. Besides, they did not happen on the Sabbath, and Jesus neither at his entrance nor his departure had been seen by the custodians or superintendents of the pool. With the exception of the sick poor who lived in the little cells formed in the walls, there were, at that time, but few persons around the piscina. Those in early circumstances had already been taken home. In these latter times, in consequence of the movement of the water being rare and mostly at sunrise, only those that had servants could be carried to the pool at the right time. And again, confidence in this matter of curing had greatly decreased. Even the pool itself was neglected, for a part of the wall on one side had gone to ruins. One only people of lively faith frequented it at that time. People such as those that among us go on pilgrimage to holy shrines. This was the pool in which Nehemiah hid the sacred fire. A piece of wood with which it was covered was afterward thrown aside and later on was used for a part of Christ's cross. The pool had developed its miraculous virtue only after it had been made the depository of the sacred fire. In early times, the pious sick, who were endowed with the spirit of prophecy, used to see an angel descend and agitate the water. Afterward, very few, if any, saw that wondrous sight. And lastly, the times had become such that if any did see it, they kept it to themselves. Still, at all periods, many beheld the waters agitated and bubbling. This pool, after the coming of the Holy Ghost, became the baptismal place of the apostles. It was, with its agitating angel, a mystery typical of holy baptism, at the time of the Paschal Lamb, which, in turn, was a type of the Last Supper and the Redeemer's death. After this miracle, Jesus went with the disciples into a synagogue near the Temple Mount, in which Nicodemus and the other friends were celebrating the Sabbath. Jesus did not teach here. He prayed and listened to the reading of the Holy Scriptures, appointed for the Sabbath. They consisted of passages relating to the departure from Egypt, the journey through the Red Sea, and the prophetess Deborah. Footnote 2, Exodus 13, 17 through 15, 27, Judges 4, 4, 5, 32. A canticle celebrating the passage through the Red Sea was sung, and in it was recounted, one after another, all the benefits that God had showered on the Jews, especially what regarded their worship and temple. Mention was made of all the priestly vestments and ornaments which God had prescribed on Sinai, also of Solomon and the Queen of Saba. This Sabbath was called Beshalah, and was immediately followed by the Feast of 3 Days, whose name sounds like Enorim, footnote 3, probably Deborah. It was at one and the same time the commencement, the end, and the feast of thanksgiving, for all favors and for all other feasts. In the canticle, thanks were given for the innumerable favors that God had shown them from the beginning, namely for their deliverance from Egypt and the Red Sea, for the law, the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, for the priestly vestments of the temple, and for their wise King Solomon. They demanded also, in that canticle, another king as wise as he. United with this feast, which had been instituted by a prophet long before the existence of either Solomon or the temple, was a joyous festival, founded by Solomon on the occasion of the presents made him by the Queen of Saba, who was struck with admiration at his wisdom. With these gifts, he had given recreation to the priests and the people. Its remembrance was perpetuated by the holiday now going on, in which everyone freely diverted himself. Since this feast could be celebrated anywhere, all the Pharisees and officers of the temple who could in any way escape availed themselves of the opportunity to visit their friends and recruit their strength for the approaching great feasts of Purim and the Pasch. Abundant alms were distributed on this feast. Loaves of very fine white bread were baked and given to the poor as a remembrance of the manna in the desert. This festival was like the Amen of the feasts, the feast of the beginning and the end. After the service in the synagogue, Jesus went with some disciples into the temple, in which were only a few people. The Levites were coming and going, putting things in order and filling the lamps with oil for the next morning. Jesus penetrated into places not only to all, even into the vestibule of the sanctuary where stood the great teacher's chair, in order to see and speak to them. This he did upon the various deep questions, and they listened for some time. Then came some of the other Levites and reproached him with his boldness in daring to enter those unusual places. And at that unseasonable time, they called him a contemptible Galilean, etc. Jesus answered them very gravely, spoke of his rights of the house of his father, and then withdrew. They derided him, although he inspired them with secret fear. Jesus stayed that night in the city. The next morning, Jesus and the apostles cured a great many sick in the side buildings of the cenacle, which, surrounded by a large court, stood upon Mount Sion. Joseph of Arimathea had rented it for his stone-cutting business. The holy women of Jerusalem were busied around the sick with all the services that tender charity would inspire. It was on account of these sufferers that Joseph of Arimathea, when recently at Hebron, had invited Jesus to Jerusalem. They were, for the most part, good, righteous people, acquaintances of the holy women and friends of Jesus. They had been conveyed by night into the court of the cenacle. Jesus spent the whole morning in performing cures. He taught occasionally, sometimes by this, sometimes by that group. There were lame and blind and paralyzed, others with withered and crippled hands, others with ulcers, men, women, and children. There were also some men wounded by the overthrow of the aqueduct. Some had fractured skulls, others broken limbs. They were now busy in the valley of Jerusalem, clearing away the rubbish. Some walls falling in had dammed up the water, and laborers were sent into the dike to dig through the debris. In some places, whole trees and large stones were thrown in to stop the course of the waters. After Jesus had taken a slight repast with the disciples in the cenacle, at which those that just had been cured were entertained, he and his followers went into the temple, into the public teacher's chair, near which were kept the rolls of the law. Jesus demanded the rolls and proceeded to expound the passages appropriate to the day. They refer to the journey through the Red Sea and to Deborah, and again that psalm treating of the feast was sung. The title is To Sing Morning or Eve. All were astonished at Jesus' doctrine, and no one dared to contradict him. Some of the Pharisees alone made bold to ask, Where didst thou study? Where didst thou receive the right to teach? How canst thou take so great a liberty? Jesus answered them in terms so grave and severe that they had nothing to reply. Then he left the temple and went to Bethania with his disciples and friends. Jesus' stay in Jerusalem this time was little remarked, since his chief enemies were not there. It was only from the great teacher's chair he closed the ceremonies of the Sabbath that they paid much attention to him, and again spoke here and there of the Galilean. All Jerusalem was at that time taken up with the talk of the fallen aqueduct, the jealousy existing between Herod and Pilate, and the journey of the latter to Rome. Even John's death was now discussed but little. Unless some particular excitement arose, the people did not talk much of Jesus. It was there, as in other great cities. Occasionally, indeed, somebody would say, "Jesus, the Galilean, is now in the city." And another would reply, "If he does not come with several thousand men, he will effect nothing." While in Bethania, Jesus went to the house of Simon, who no longer appeared in public, for he was sick. His leprosy having begun, a number of red blotches had broken out upon him. Wrapped in a large mantle, he kept himself concealed in a retired apartment. Jesus had an interview with him. Simon looked like one that is anxious not to have his malady noticed, but soon he would be unable to ward off attention. He showed himself as little as possible. Late that night, the disciples returned from Judah, which they left after the Sabbath. They related to Jesus the circumstance of their bringing away John's body from Macarius and its burial near his father. The two soldiers from Macarius had come with the disciples. Lazarus took charge of them, kept them concealed, and provided for their wants. When Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us retire to some solitude, there to rest and mourn, not over John's death, but over the deplorable causes that led to it," I thought, how will he be able to rest? For the other apostles and disciples were already gone to Mary and Capernaum. Crowds from all quarters, even from Syria and Bassan, had flocked thither, and the whole country around Chorazin was covered with the tents of those that were awaiting Jesus' coming. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. As we continue in the reading that we began the other day, we hear a few things that I think would draw us into the scriptures. I've said this before, I repeat it again today, that I think our study of Anne Catherine Emmerich should lead us to the Bible, that we would open up our Bible and maybe read a bit more than, and maybe discover new things that maybe we haven't come across before. For example, today, when it says, "This was the pool in which Nehemiah hid the sacred fire, a piece of wood with it, which was covered with, afterward thrown aside, and later on was used as part of Christ's cross." Well, what is this fire of Nehemiah? Nehemiah was a prophet. We have a book of his. But to find out the answer to the fire of Nehemiah, you would have to go to 2 Maccabees, chapter 1, verses 18 to 36. So perhaps take out your Bible, read that, and just see this reference we have here in the public ministry of Jesus, but it's going all the way back to the Old Testament, to this deuterocanonical text. A lot of attention is drawn to Deborah, and we heard those citations from Exodus and Judges, but again, might be worthy of revisiting. They talk about the hymn of thanksgiving. This is one that is read on the Easter Vigil, that is sung, you know, horse and chariot in the sea, one of the lines that I recall. We see how God has delivered the chosen people again and again. The ministry of Jesus, going in the synagogue, teaching. The ministry of Jesus, going about healing. The ministry of Jesus, teaching others what they need to know. And then Jesus going to Bethania, to the house of Simon, who no longer appeared in public, for he was sick, his leprosy having begun. Jesus can help Simon. And then Jesus, in the closing paragraph of today's section, let us retire to some solitude, there to rest and mourn, not over John's death, but over the deplorable causes that led to it. Saying, let's take time to pray. Let us take time to meditate over these things as well. Let us rest and mourn, not only for John, but over the things that led to this. And in meditating on what has led to this, well, the realization, this could be my fate too. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.